Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Good morning, good morning, good Monday morning, good morning. Hey, thank you so much, Isaiah, as you do each and every time we come on the air, introducing this show for your granddaddy, Babu Jahi, or Baba Jahi, to all those there listeners. Babu means granddaddy, and I'm just so happy to have you as a wonderful, wonderful grandson who's walking with me in the spirit of business and all the things that we do. Well, hey, we got a great show for you this morning, and we're getting ready for upcoming season that'll be coming, and we're doing tax tips for business owners, tax tips for business owners. This is an exciting topic I really have a lot of fun with, especially since I'm a licensed tax professional and also available to come to areas, to organizations, to be able to speak about tax issues, things of that nature, and you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the show today. But we want to, you know, dive right on into some issues here in terms of tax tips. And I specialize in home-based business tax laws, and you know, one of the things we want to talk about is how to turn your home into a tax-deductible gold mine. How to turn your home into a tax-deductible gold mine. You know, well, back in 1999, you know, Congress, they liberalized the home office rules to such an extent that many home-based businesses, and especially those of you out there who are involved in network marketing, can legally, morally, and ethically claim the benefits of the home-based business tax deduction. And when you analyze the numbers, the benefit of claiming this deduction can result in thousands in your pocketbook every year. Thus, you know, it's important that you get with someone who's a licensed tax professional who specializes in home-based businesses so that they can make sure you get the proper deductions. So your accountant might tell you, well, that deduction, you can't take that deduction. And I've had clients who, before coming to me, had shared with me information, you know, from people who previously did their taxes who basically, you know, did them a disservice because if they don't specialize in that area of expertise, then they can't help you. Let's just be honest. You know, you wouldn't go, ladies, you're having a baby, you're not going to a brain surgeon for him to deliver your baby. You know, he's a great brain surgeon, but he can't help you with delivering a baby. I don't care how much he knows about brain surgery. You know, he's not the doctor to deliver the baby, and even though he's a doctor. And it's the same with some of these people that are accountants and CPAs and all of that. You know, if they don't understand home-based tax rules and tax laws, they're good accountants, but they can't help you. And you need to make sure you're paying somebody to help you. Let's go through some of these requirements the requirements for being able to take advantage of the home office deduction. And that's what it's called. It's called a home office deduction, and I'm going to be giving this information to you strictly from an IRS point of view, and show you how, you know, from the IRS point of view, also in terms of how this law is interpreted and how to make it apply to you. The requirements of the home office deduction. In order to be eligible for the home office deduction, your home-based business must meet three major requirements. And if you meet these three requirements, you're fine. So, again, and also once I go through this, I'm going to talk about how to prepare for an audit in case you ever get audited. So, you know, so you don't be worried about those things. You can just be ready to handle it. Let me jump ahead of myself. Let me get back on point. There's three requirements. Use your home as your principal office. Use your home regularly for business. And use an exclusive portion of your home for business. Those are the three rules. See, most people will tell you, well, you know, when you're doing something out of your house, but it's not exclusively for business. It just so happens that you live in your house. You need to have, yes, an office set up in your home that's exclusively for business. Exclusively for business, you know. And so, you know, I have an office set up in my home that's exclusively set up for business, you know, and those are the requirements. And, you know, I meet with people. And, you know, when I show them that and then show them how they do have their house set up in that way, so, oh, I also read a book in here. You know, well, that's your office. If you had an office, you know, outside of your home, you know, you mean you couldn't go in there and read a book? No. You know, it's exclusively used for your business. And you use it on a regular basis. And your home is where your principal office is. See, so if you have a home-based business and you, that's where you keep your files, you make your calls, you do your paperwork, all of that, that's a principal office. And you have to use it on a regular basis, and we're going to talk about what that means in an exclusive portion of that. So when Congress liberalized this law in order to allow most home-based businesses and even network marketing businesses to take advantage of this deduction, to constitute a principal office, you must render significant management or administration for your business out of your home and not have another office where you render significant services. Significant management administration means doing the paperwork for the business in a set spot of your home. That's self-explanatory. Hopefully self-explanatory. I mean, this is what the regulation says. This is not Baba Chahi's regulation. This is the IRS regulation. That you do the paperwork in a specific set spot in your home. So you have an office, and you're doing the management and the administration of your business. Now, and in some cases, you know, we do sales presentations in our home, but, I mean, you don't necessarily have to do the sales presentation in your home. As long as you're managing your business and handling your administrative paperwork. So especially if you have a business in which, you know, you're doing stuff online, and you got your computer and all of that set up, and you got your file cabinet, you print stuff out, got a fax machine, all of that, and you're handling your paperwork in that specific spot, you qualify. Example, let's say you run a network marketing business out of your home. You review all your applications for your business in your home and all the inputs of your business expenses into, you know, let's say a spreadsheet. You know, on your computer into your home, or if you're old fashioned and you got, you know, a bookkeeping system where you're actually manually writing those things in, then you qualify as a principal place of business for your network marketing business. Now, if you have another office that you use, then you don't qualify for home office deduction. So that's why, you know, you want to be involved in a business, a network marketing business, where you exclusively use your home as an office. Now, what is regular use? And this, again, this is from the IRS rules, not my rules. You must also work your business regularly out of your home, although there is no hard and fast rule as to what this is. Case law, this is the law, generally requires 45 minutes a day, 4 to 5 days a week out of your home. Thus, if you only work 1 hour a week, this may not be enough. So, again, 45 minutes a day out of your home. So if you got conference calls that you're on, you know, and you do them, you do your conference calls in your home. You're doing webinars such as I do. Do your webinars from, you know, out of your home. Spend 45 minutes on personal development in your home, going through your reading material. Spend more than that. So, you know, on average, if you really map out your schedule and make yourself a great schedule, then you basically can carve out easily 3 to 4 hours a day working out of your home if you're seriously running a home-based business. That says, you know, if you're doing 1 hour a week, then you're not doing regular work out of your home. And thus, if you was audited, you know, you could run into some very serious issues. And so one of the things that you would like to do and that you really need to do is keep this off the timesheet. Whether it's on your computer, or whether you have a book where you sign in and sign out for what you did. If you work a job, you have a timesheet of being on the clock. And I'm going to share again with you as we about the second half of this program today about, you know, preparing for audits, because I did go to an audit with a person last year, even though I wasn't the one that did the tax, somebody else did. That's a whole other story. Okay, so that's regular use, which is basically saying 45 minutes a day, 45 days a week. What constitutes exclusive use? You must use a portion of your home exclusively for business. This does not mean that the whole room must be used for business. In fact, you can use part of the room. However, the part used for business must be used exclusively for business. Thus, if there are fiction or cookbooks in the home office bookshelf, get them out. If you have a computer in the home office, don't play games on that computer, etc. One big question that, you know, a lot of times I get seminars, whether the IRS will visit my home and see if I'm playing games on the home office computer or have non-business books in the home office bookshelf. The answer is yes, they can. Yes, they can. You say, this is my office computer, then, you know, on that office computer, have office stuff. Pull up files. Don't have games and all kind of other stuff. Do that on another computer. In your office, have business-related books on your office bookshelf, not non-business-related books. Okay? You know, because technically, if they do want to visit your home, if you get one of them IRS agents who really want to come after you, they can come and say, let me visit your home. But the best way to do is handle it is I suggest to people always take pictures of your home office so that if you ever do go into an audit, that you have pictures of your home office and you can show them, this is where the computer is. Because really, you know, most IRS agents, they're not interested in coming out to your house. This is my bookcase, you know. And then if you got your documents in order, you usually don't have to worry about it. Having a home office allows what type of deductions? The home office deduction applies to real estate and not the furniture. Thus, if you qualify for deduction, you may deduct part of your utilities, depreciate part of your home, deduct part of your cleaning service, part of your homeowner's fees, and your burglar law fees. And so, you know, you want to be able to make these deductions. However, even if you don't qualify for deduction, it does not apply to the furniture that you use for the business. That's the desk you use, the chair, the bookshelf, the file cabinet. All can be depreciated to the extent that you use these items for business. They have nothing to do with the home office deduction. In fact, you may not be eligible to claim a home office deduction and still deduct your furniture and equipment to the extent you use for business. So basically what that's saying is that you things that you bought for the business, you bought a desk, you bought a chair, you bought a file cabinet, they can become business expenses, and at the same time you can depreciate their use over time. So when you first write them off, you're writing off the value of what you pay for them, and then they depreciate. The home office deduction, like any other type of business deduction, is limited to the net income from your business. Example, so your net income from your home business, $600 per year, not including any deductible deduction attributed to the home office. If the home office deduction is $5,000, you really may only deduct $600, which is limited to your net income for your business. Take the home office deduction anyway, even if your net income from your business doesn't justify it. You may carry over the excess to future further years. And so, you know, you want to be able to make sure that you understand this home office deduction. Now, you can have a deduction where you write off the loss. Technically, they want you to carry it over for excessive years as opposed to taking it all off on a specific year. But you get with a licensed tax professional because there's several different ways you can deal with that deduction. In short, the home office deduction can be worth thousands each year in your pocket. It is one of the many reasons why everyone should have a home-based business. With the right knowledge, you can make tax day a payday. this, that takes care of, you know, a home office deduction. And like I said, again, you know, I didn't even touch, that's the home office part. The other part is your vehicle, your mileage. And with your mileage, you know, I suggest to people that what you do is also have a P.O. box for your business mail. Even though you do have a home office, it can be mailed to your house. But you really want to have a P.O. box, because if you say, let's say you have a home office, you're running a home-based business, and you're still working a W-2 job. What we want to do is we want to change those commuter miles to business miles. So how do we do that? What we have to do is you need to have either a P.O. box or you have somewhere you go every morning before you go to work. The P.O. box, basically, if you have a P.O. box, and hopefully, the place is open at the time of the morning, because I know some people go really work real early, but if you have a P.O. box, so you check your P.O. box before going to your job, then what happens, the mileage from the P.O. box to, you left your house, you went to the P.O. box. Okay, that's business. That's your mileage. You're in the business mode. Then when you leave from the P.O. box to go to work, you left from there and not your home. See, you didn't leave from your house to go to work. You left from your P.O. box to go to work. So now that commuter miles is now transferred to business miles. And when you leave from your job in the evening, stop at a Starbucks or, again, I'm not promoting Starbucks. I don't get any money from them. I'm just using an example, so let me put some other ones in there. Starbucks or Mickey D's or, like, we're here in North Carolina, or Bojangles or somewhere that's close by. And you stop there, pass out some business cards, maybe get you a latte or, a cup of water, a cold drink. Or whatever you want to get, based on your appetite or whatever, or you stop it like in my neck of the woods in Baltimore, Maryland, area where I'm from, or stop at a 7-Eleven, get you a Slurpee, if you drink those things, or just pick up your newspaper. But make sure you pass out some business cards. And thus, now you've prospected, and when you leave from there to go home, that is now business miles again, from the time you got off from work to going home. So now we've turned your whole commuter mile thing into business miles, which means, say, some people, they commute, I know some people, they commute close to 100 miles a day, 50 going one way, 50 going the other. That's 500 miles a week. At 50 cents a mile, that's $250 a week tax deduction write-off for your home-based business. That's how powerful that is. So you want to make sure you take advantage of that. Okay, hey, I want to get into my next topic before I'm giving out some valuable information here. And this is it's called handling IRS audits. Handling IRS audits. And you need to understand, that there's some tips and some techniques in dealing with the IRS. One of the biggest misunderstandings, however, deals with the time limit the IRS has to audit you. Generally, the IRS can only audit your return for the last 3 open tax years. This means that you can deduct for 3 years. This means that you can get audited for 3 years after the return was filed or the return was due, whichever is later. The problem is that the IRS rarely audits taxpayers right after the return is filed. They may wait for 2 years or more from the filing date to conduct an audit. This gives them only 1 year left to audit the return and assess a deficit, a deficiency. This may sound great, but don't get too excited or think that any time delay will be in your favor. IRS typically ask taxpayers to extend the statute of limitations with a signed consent in order to give them more time. On the surface, most people would refuse this extension. However, to do so would be a mistake. Okay, let me tell you why it's a mistake. If you simply refuse an extension, IRS can typically decide all issues in their favor, forcing you to go to appeals or even worse, court. There are two strategies that should be used should the IRS present you with this situation. Strategy number one, agree to extend the time, but only for a period of 1 year or less. This would at least limit the time period for the audit. You want to extend the time, but only for 1 year or less. Strategy number two, also agree to the extension as noted above with the proviso that the extension only relates to specific issues. Okay, let me tell you why. For example, say if the IRS is auditing, as we just talked about, your automobile expense. The extension only relates to the automobile. The advantage here is that if the IRS uncovers something after the normal statute of limits runs out and it's unrelated to the issue and the extension, they cannot assess any more tax. It's too late. This is powerful for you to understand. You're going to agree to the extension and to a specific issue. You ask them what's in question. And what's in question is not the whole tax return. It's usually an issue that they flag. And so when you say, okay, I'll agree to that, you know, with that specific issue in mind. If they find something else later, or we get into the tax return and they say, wow, we know this, we didn't see this and we didn't see that, and then, no. We agree to the extension around this specific issue, and that's all we're here to discuss. See, know how the law works for you. That's why you need a licensed tax professional, especially one that specializes in home-based business, so that they can make sure that they keep them sticking to the letter of the law. See, you deal with some of these people. Well, let me back up a second, because I'm not bad-mouthing anybody out there. I don't know what everybody does. I know what I do. But I know from being in this industry, you know, and helping people, I've seen some messed up stuff out there where people did not give people proper advice because they do not understand the law. They're not studying the tax law. And, you know, the thing is, if your audit is not a bad thing. Most of people, oh, my God, I'm going to be audited. Well, see, the thing is, you if you don't deal with the extension and also a specific issue, then, yes, when you go in to be audited, they can go through the whole tax return. That's what happened with a lady I went to an audit with, say, last year. And the problem was that, you know, she called me after the fact, even though someone else had did her taxes and it messed them up. And really, she had a ball of mess. And, you know, I didn't know what was going on, except I went with her for moral support, try to help her out and whatever. And but if she had did these things that's in here, then as opposed to her whole tax return being analyzed, we could have had them analyze what was the specific issue in question. See, they would have had to give a specific issue that's in question. And thus, we would only address that issue and not the whole return. And elderly, what happened, they didn't address the whole return, and, I mean, they hit her hard. And so, you know, these are important things to know. And, again, today's show is tax tips for business owners. We covered the home-based business, the home office tax expense that you're able to take advantage of, and we discussed handling an audit today. Those are two things that we talked about. You can go to my website, www.thetaxhelper.com to, you know, get more information. You know, and you go there and you can fill out a contact sheet and put in a question that you might have in terms of some things that you're, you know, concerned about in terms of taxes. And, you know, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Also, we are hiring for the tax season. And, you know, we got hired up until like about October the 15th, because after then it'd be kind of hard cramming all of the information to get people prepared to get the certification and taking the coursework and all of that to qualify as a licensed tax professional. So if you'd like to earn some extra money for the 2013 tax season and take on another career path, become a licensed tax professional, just give us a call or send us a text at 252-406-0774. I'll repeat that number one more time. That's 252-406-0774. Don't delay. Pick up that phone and call or text today. And we'd be more than happy to get you involved in the process of becoming a licensed tax professional because, you know, I'm working and building. I want to build a tax agency that goes out here and really seeks, finds, and helps people, for lack of better word, take advantage of the legal, moral, and ethical ways to reduce their taxes and turn tax day into a payday. It's happening, and other people are doing it, and why not you? Why not you? I mean, there's nothing wrong in reducing your taxes. Nothing whatsoever is wrong with reducing your taxes. You know, and so you want to understand that, you know, and this is from Judge Learned Ham. He says, anyone may arrange his affairs so that his taxes shall be as low as possible. He is not bound to choose that pattern which best pays the treasury. There is not even a patriotic duty to increase one's taxes. Over and over again, the courts have said that there is nothing sinister in so arranging affairs as to keep taxes as low as possible. Everyone does it, rich and poor alike, and all do right. For no one owes any public duty to pay more than the law demands. Judge Learned Hand. That's Judge Learned Hand. That's a quote from him. Now, that's a judge. And he's telling you there's nothing wrong with that. And President Calvin Coolidge said the following, collecting more taxes than is absolutely necessary is legalized robbery. Yeah, so what are you going to do? You going to keep paying more when you don't have to? I hope not. And if you want to change your tax situation, make sure you give us a call or send us a text at 252-406-0774. That's 252-406-0774. Give us a call. Send us a text. Don't delay. Get that done today. Hey, it's been a great time this morning. I really enjoyed sharing these airwaves with you. I hope you got a lot out of today's show and information that we shared, and it's time to wrap up for the day. God bless you, and we'll close out with our theme song called It's My Time. Yes, it is my time to claim my destiny. It's your time to also get your tax break.
We hope you enjoyed the Success Songs original composition. For music and words that create powerful moments in your day, go to successsongs.com and hear life from a higher vibration.